Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my sexy husband, Miko Alon.
Well, hi, guys.
Miko, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking all about politics and current events, and then we'll be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we are tasting the new vegan milk chocolate bar by Lindt. Mmm. And then we'll be closing out the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you'd like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, you can do that on Twitter. I can be found at Vegan Ari, and Miko can be found at Miko Alon. Or feel free to use our hashtag, Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing, we're always trying to get more listeners and subscribers and spread the word about the show. So if you wouldn't mind helping us out in that effort, we would be so thankful. Whatever you can do, if you want to retweet me when I tweet about the show, I would be ever so grateful for that. And everyone who does that every week, I'm sending a special shout out to you. Thank you. I see you and I really do appreciate it. So thank you. If you want to create your own social media post about the show, that works too, and I love it. If you want to post about the show in a Facebook group you're in or a Reddit, that's great. Now let's talk money. If you want to take out a commercial, I'm talking during a very high-profile event like the Super Bowl or the Oscars or the VMAs. Miko and I are available for filming, and we thank you for that. If you want to take out some billboards or bus ads, Miko and I could do a photo shoot. We thank you for that. If you want to do, I don't know, a skywriting airplane that writes the Vegan Ari Show across the sky, maybe above a very populated area like New York City, we appreciate that as well. No matter what, no matter what it is, no matter how big or how small, no matter how much money it costs, no matter how free, we really do appreciate all the help in spreading the word. So, a big thank you to everyone who has already helped us out in that effort. And remember, you can help us more than once. And a big thank you if you are about to help us spread the word, even if it is for the very first time. Now, Miko, you ready to get into this?
Yes, I am.
Good. All right. First, I want to start out by asking you a question. Did you know that you can declassify top secret American documents just by thinking?
You know, this was news to me. I think it was news to a lot of people.
I mean, I didn't realize that. I always thought that there were very specific steps you had to go through to declassify things like, I don't know, nuclear secrets or CIA agents that are still in the field. I thought that that took a very, that there was a process to this. But now, I mean, according to our former president, Donald Trump, a president can just declassify these things just by thinking. Like, he's Professor X from the X-Men. He just thinks it and it happens.
It's all the more interesting because the law specifically says that you can't do that with nuclear secrets and certain other types of documents. But as has always been the case with this bloated orange garbage sack, don't let the truth get in the way of your Fox News interview.
I mean, if you don't know what we're joking about, this was literally the interview this week that Donald Trump gave to Sean Hannity. And this is exactly what he said, that just by thinking, he can declassify documents. Never mind the fact that they can't make up their mind whether these were classified documents, whether these were documents planted by the FBI. It's a big old mess. But, you know, I gotta say, obviously, Sean Hannity is trash, but can you imagine having someone say that to you on your show and not doing any pushback, not challenging that at all? I mean, that's obvious bullshit. So I mean, it's Sean, just crazy.
Sean Hannity participated in this complete cognitive dissonance by saying, well, you also said that the documents were planted by the FBI. You must have footage of that, because remember how Trump and his spokespeople threatened to release all the footage from Mar-a-Lago showing how outrageous the search was. And then Trump was like, oh, I mean, no, I mean, they did that in a room. So they're bullshitting, from 180 degrees, different positions, can't decide, you know, what their story is. And The other thing that was very delightful this week is that, you know, Trump had been clamoring for this special master in this ridiculous ruling from the judge that he had shopped for. And now they're complaining that the special master is moving too quickly. And the special master asked them to say definitively, did you or did you not declassify these documents? And they were like, we don't want to say. So thankfully, in a what seems like a, you know, rare series of moments of justice, the 11th Circuit Court overturned this judge's decision saying, oh, the FBI can't use these documents as a part of its criminal investigation. And they did that unanimously. And two of those judges were appointed by Trump himself.
Yeah, there were a lot of people speculating this week that the 11th Circuit was actually going to rule in Trump's favor because it's a notoriously conservative court. And like you just mentioned, there are some judges on this court that were appointed by Trump himself. I think that Trump really had two major losses this week, specifically in this case with the classified documents that he stole. Number one is that this federal judge's decision to halt the investigation, that was overturned by the 11th Circuit. And then this special master, Raymond Deary, I mean, he's not playing. You know, he wants to get this done. I think also there was something that he said this week about them asserting that the FBI planted the documents. And he said, well, you're going to have to show evidence of that.
Yeah, he said that you have to go through the entire list and say these documents were at Mar-a-Lago or we claim that these documents were planted by the FBI.
Right.
And I mean, in some ways, I feel like to me, this was not a surprise at all that the 11th Circuit ruled this way, because the judge that Trump shopped for, you know, trying to change venue and everything, had said basically that she raised that the damage to Trump's reputation as a former president was more important than the facts, and that even overrode the American public's interest in national security. I mean, it was a ridiculous, laughable ruling, and it's no surprise that unanimously it was struck down. And I would be very surprised to see Trump appeal this to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court certainly is not going to take this on.
Well, it's not looking good for Trump right now, because in addition to this mess that he's got himself into being investigated by the Department of Justice for stealing these documents, Tish James in New York also referred Trump. I guess that she made a referral to the IRS for him to be investigated for fraud.
So first of all, there is a civil indictment for $250 million and also seeking to bar Trump from doing business in New York State.
And she
targets Trump. And the executives of the Trump Organization, who also happen to be his children, which was just a little sidebar here, infuriating to listen to people say, oh, why did she go after Trump's children? First of all, these are grown-ass adults, ranging in age from 38 to 45, I think.
Yeah.
And they are executives of the Trump Organization, and the reason they're indicted is because they personally certified falsified statements about value of Trump Organization's assets. They are active participants in the crime repeatedly.
Now, Tish James, she's the attorney general from New York State, right?
Correct.
Okay. She did a whole thread on her Twitter that really shows all of the different ways that the Trump Organization engaged in fraud, all the stuff that they're being accused of. And it's just like, it's just such scumbag. Again, remember how last week I called Ron DeSantis a low-life scumbag? I mean, this stuff that she's listing, it's such low-life scumbag behavior. It's like undervaluing properties so you don't have to pay taxes, falsifying the amount of square footage of other properties that you're selling so that you overvalue them. Like, just scummy shit that they were doing.
Somebody had this great meme that was like, it was a picture of a hovel that said a Trump property at tax time, and then Taj Mahal when it's time to say how much it's worth when it comes to your assets. It's completely ridiculous. But yes, she has referred this also to federal prosecutors for tax fraud.
Right. So we have that. And then, of course, we have Fannie Willis in Georgia looking at the election, the attempted election fraud there by Trump and his friends.
Yeah, she announced late last week that there will definitely be criminal indictments, probably around 17.
So do you think Trump is actually going to go down by one of these? I mean, my God, like I keep saying, the man's involved in so much criminality. Do you think that one of these cases, one of these crimes is actually going to catch up with him.
Well, I mean, I had this distinct feeling this week that this, what we witnessed this week, was the moment that marked the beginning of the end of Donald Trump, that the wheels of justice are finally starting to turn. You have, you know, financial fraud, election fraud, stealing of classified documents, and we haven't even gotten to yet the consequences for the coup attempt and insurrection on January 6th.
Yeah, it's...
I think this is the end. It may take a while, but there ain't no coming back from this for him, I don't think.
Well, I wonder...
In the Republican Party is different, but I'm saying in the justice system.
Well, if there is going to be any justice, they need to wrap it up in the next couple years. Because if by some... Oh, this would be terrible, but if in 24 we got a Republican president and this isn't wrapped up by then, I don't think it's going to move forward. I mean, you have to remember, this is the American Justice Department. Well, I mean, look, it doesn't stop the state of New York from doing what they're going to do and the state of Georgia from doing what they're going to do. But at least the DOJ looking into Trump for stealing these documents, if we get a Republican president in 24 and this isn't wrapped up by then, they're going to just stop the investigation altogether.
I mean, we always should remember, you know, Al Capone killed a lot of people, had them a lot of people killed. He didn't go to prison for murder. He went to prison for tax evasion. And the one thing that really gives me both hope and confidence is that two of these investigations, the one in New York and the one in Georgia, are run by black women. They are not afraid of Trump, and they're going to bring him to justice.
Amen to that. All right, but speaking of the world, let's get out of the United States for a minute. Speaking of what's going on in the world, I think that there's something in the air. We see Putin now in a very, I mean, he's in a mess of a situation. I think that the fact is the Ukrainians are winning this war. He's lost tens of thousands of his own troops. And now he's looking at basically starting a draft, I guess, in his country. And I don't think it's very popular with the Russian people. I mean, you see people trying to leave Russia now. Do you think that this war in Ukraine is actually going to be the end of Vladimir Putin?
This really could mark the end of him because, as you said, Russia has lost 55,000 soldiers in 200 days.
That's unimaginable.
And those are all their best trained soldiers. So now they're looking at the largest national draft probably since World War II.
And for what? For what? To take over this country that did nothing to them? Like, I don't... How... I mean, certainly the people in Russia must be asking themselves, why? Why are we being asked to sacrifice our sons to this?
Maybe it's time that, frankly, it's high time they did that because a lot of people have noted, you know, now there's mass unrest in Russia, demonstrations, several thousand people have been arrested. Tens of thousands are trying to flee the country. There's talk that Kazakhstan and Georgia will both close their border to Russia to prevent people from entering in huge numbers. But the truth is this is only happening now because mobilization affects, you know, the sons of rich families, because this, I think it covers 18 to 55. And that's where people are really protesting. The war has come home. The consequences have come home. And I believe it was the Estonian prime minister who said they will not grant asylum to Russians trying to flee to avoid serving. He said, you have a problem to fix, and it's called remove Putin.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. And I think that Putin grossly underestimated the Ukrainian people.
Oh, catastrophically.
I mean, it literally, this could end his career.
I mean, they have also, in addition to killing regular soldiers, have killed like 10 generals.
Wow. He grossly underestimated this, what he was doing. He's a fool. This could end his political career. I mean, he might have to flee the country. I don't even know. I mean, we'll see how this all ends up for him.
I mean, he already, as you may remember, had a law passed that he can't be charged with crimes, nor can any of his family members.
And then all these stories of people like falling out of windows he's such a thug. I mean, I don't know.
It definitely is. I think Russia is at a crossroads and we'll see what happens. But I would not be surprised if this was the event that, drove him from power.
And it seems like Iran is also at a crossroads this week. I've been reading about these protests in Iran and it is just, it's heartbreaking, but also you feel so inspired by these people who are taking to the streets, risking their own lives, you know, risking their own safety to protest misogyny. You know, Miko, do you want to talk about it? I mean, I have some info here, but I think that if you haven't been reading about what's going on in Iran, it really is incredible the outcry there for justice and, quite frankly, equality for women.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of revolutions have a specific spark, and these protests started after the death in police custody of a 22-year-old woman named Mahsa Amini, who was arrested by Iran's morality police for incorrectly wearing her headscarf.
Right.
And then they claim that, she had a heart attack and fell into a coma and died, but eyewitnesses and medical records indicate that she was severely beaten and suffered a cerebral hemorrhage and stroke. And this has resulted in demonstrations in 40 cities across Iran, including in Tehran. Women are burning headscarves. Women are burning, portraits of religious leaders. I mean, these are, under normal circumstances in Iran, completely unthinkable acts, because you can be arrested for not wearing a headscarf correctly.
I mean, people have been arrested and people have died in these protests.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they say that there are, I think estimates range from at least there's 35 people who have been killed.
Yeah, so it's heartbreaking, but you also feel this, you just feel so inspired by these people's bravery, you know, to take to the streets, to know that they're risking everything to stand up for women. I mean, this story of this woman who was beaten to death because she didn't wear the headscarf correctly, it's unimaginable. It's unimaginable. We'll see what happens with the situation in Iran. I really, really hope that these protests, that these people taking to the streets right now, that their voices are heard and that it leads to some real change in that country.
Yeah, maybe there will be. Maybe we will see the birth of a new, equal, modern Iran and a new, truly democratic Russia from these events.
I would love to believe that. I would love to keep that optimism. I think that one of the things that in recent world history that is really shocking, if you want to take a look at it, is look at pictures of Iran before the Shah took over in the 70s. It was a very, especially compared to other countries in the Middle East, it was very progressive and liberal. And then you look at photos afterwards, and it's a totally different, because it became a theocracy, totally different country. And so, you know, just take a look. I mean, there's been articles written about this, you know, photos, and it really is shocking what can happen to a country in a matter of, you know, a couple years. And I feel like in a different way, or maybe not so different, I don't know, that is happening right here in the United States. There was this horrible law in Arizona. So just to back up for just a second, obviously we all know that the Dobbs decision overturned Roe v. Wade. In the wake of that, Arizona had passed a law. It was a 15-week abortion ban. Well, now a judge there is saying that this law in Arizona that was passed in 1864 that makes no exceptions for abortion, even in cases of rape or incest, okay? And it comes with a 2 to 5 year prison sentence if you get an abortion in the state. He's saying that this law from 1864 that was passed even before Arizona was a state, that this law should now stand on the books now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. So we see how the clock can go backwards, and we see how rights can be taken away, specifically for women.
Yeah, and the historian Heather Cox Richardson pointed out that this law, which comes from the Arizona Territorial Code, the same code, just to kind of show you where Arizona is reaching back to in its past, in the same code that had these this abortion ban, the code also said that no Black, Indian, or Asian could testify against whites. All marriages between whites and non-whites were forbidden, and the age of consent was fixed at 10 years old. This is the Arizona that Arizona voters want.
But this is
maybe
what I'm
Republican
saying.
Voters.
This is what I'm saying about turning back the clock. You know, we reference The Handmaid's Tale all the time here, and I feel like people like us watch The Handmaid's Tale in horror, but I think there's some people in this country that watch The Handmaid's Tale as like the model of what they want.
No, that is their fantasy. Right. And I think, as always, it's important to note that even in these states that pretend to have exceptions for rape and incest, rape, in some states you have to file a police report or it doesn't count as rape in the Republican minds. The health of the mother is a very nebulous concept. I mean, we have, in many states, abortion provision has ground to a complete halt because people have no clarity on what that means. What is health? What is threat to the life of the mother? So there is exactly what they're trying to do is create the Republic of Gilead, where women have no rights whatsoever.
It's really shocking and scary. I was happy, though, to see Joe Biden say that if they pick up a couple seats in the Senate, he said they only need two, they will codify Roe v. Wade into law. So we have to vote. This is a very, very important election coming up, these midterms. And he's also saying that he wants to ban assault weapons. So I know everyone is tired. I know that we were all told to vote in 2020 and that that was going to be the most consequential election. And it was. But this election coming up, this midterm election, is extremely important. If we hold the House and we pick up just a couple seats in the Senate, we could really turn the tide on a lot of the shit that we see happening right now.
We could have the beginning of the most progressive era in American history, or we can start down the path very rapidly of becoming the next Iran or Russia.
Look at what we've already done. Just having a split Senate. Look at what we've already done. The infrastructure plan, the CHIPS Act, he has been probably one of the most legislatively successful presidents since LBJ. And he only has half the Senate. So with just a couple more seats, and I think he's saying that because Kristen Sinema of Arizona, which, I mean, the irony is not lost on me here, who goes around saying how important it is to protect women's rights. This is what she says when she's campaigning. She refuses to carve out a special exception for the filibuster to codify Roe v. Wade. So that's why he's saying we need like two more, because I don't think that Manchin from West Virginia, I don't think he's going to do it either. So I think he needs I think it's a simple majority to carve out the filibuster so they can actually get this done. Sadly, we can't count on Sinema or Manchin, and with a split Senate, it can't be done. So if we get two more Democrats in there, we can have some real change in this country.
Less than 50 days to go.
All right. Now, Miko, I want to do a quick review. Well, maybe not so quick. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Before we move on to new vegan products, Miko and I watched a new mini-series this week, and I have to tell you about it because this, honestly, is one of the most powerful things I've watched since perhaps Chernobyl. That's what it made me think of in terms of its gravity and its depth. So Miko and I watched a show called 5 Days at Memorial. It's on Apple TV Plus. This is a show that was developed by John Ridley and Carlton Cuse. It stars Vera Farmiga, Cherry Jones, Cornelius Smith Jr., and Robert Pine. Robert Pine is actually the father of Chris Pine, I found out. Didn't know that. And this covers Memorial Hospital in New Orleans in the days following Hurricane Katrina, when the levees broke and parts of the city completely flooded. This is a harrowing story, and it is, like I said, it is difficult to watch. It's extremely depressing, I'm not gonna lie. There is very little. This show is just relentless in its portrayal of the events that happened, and I wanted to recommend it though because I think it's important for us to understand and to revisit what happened in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina and how much we failed as a nation to help the people of New Orleans and to take the action that was needed. I mean, this was an epic failure, specifically from the Bush administration. It's one of the reasons why when people try to rehabilitate George W. Bush or make it that he's cute. I get that Trump was absolutely the worst president we've ever had, but G.W. Bush was also horrible. Was he as bad as Trump? I don't know, but he was pretty fucking awful. And this was largely, I feel like, he should be held accountable for what happened. And it's just, it's shocking because you think of the United States having the largest military of like the next, I don't know, five countries combined or something. And yet I feel like where were we? Why weren't we helping everybody? I don't know. Miko, what did you think of this show?
I mean, I think this is an absolute masterpiece.
And it really is.
It resurrects in very searing ways, I think, events that one of those shows that it's either all the things you never knew about what happened in the wake of Katrina, or I think a lot of people have forgotten. It is absolutely surreal to watch that show at times and think this all really happened in the United States in 2005. I think there are so many things that are shocking about it, including how quickly everything falls apart. In 5 days, you think like in the abstract, like, well, how many things could go wrong? How difficult could things become in 5 days? And this really shows it to you, and obviously centers on the very controversial events inside the hospital where doctors were accused of basically killing or euthanizing patients who were not able to be moved, who otherwise would have been abandoned. And I think that it grapples with both really difficult, if not impossible, moral questions. And I think really looks at, I think that the rage that I think reverberates in the show about how people were put into this position to begin with, it really shakes you to your core.
It really does. And it doesn't let up from the minute it starts to the minute it ends. And like I keep saying, it is difficult to watch. You know, these doctors were put in just an unimaginable situation and just the amount of suffering. And I was going to say glad, but glad's not really the word. Maybe I was just grateful. The show also, there's a whole episode that dealt with animals and the decisions people had to make with regards to their companion animals and how devastating that was. The laws have now since changed that I don't think they can force you to evacuate and your home or a building without, you know, that back then they made you leave your companion animals. So basically you were abandoning them. I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. I think a federal law passed now banning that. But so there's a whole episode that deals with that as well, which was just shocking and very sad to watch. And yeah, I definitely think this show takes a point of view. Which, you know, I that's, you know, up to the people who wrote the show and you know, what direction they wanted to take it. But it really is. I'm sure that this was not, I mean, you just think of these doctors in these situations and you just go, I don't know what anyone would have done or not have done, or, you know, it's impossible to imagine.
It first resurrects the absolutely horrific conditions. I can't think of a show that has portrayed like heat and recreating what the conditions were like inside the hospital.
And suffering.
The suffering is very tangible. And what is fascinating to me, just as a creative choice in the show, that it really, really kind of, after everything you see, your sort of moral judgment is drawn to a single event, a single doctor, a single patient, which is one of the few events that you don't actually get to see. And I thought it's fascinating because the show, as you said, renders, I think, pretty clear moral judgment on where the filmmakers feel that they stand. But you never get to see a version of what happens in that room in the moment. And I think that that's because they really allow the viewer to make their own moral judgment about where they stand.
Right. I definitely think, though, you know, John Ridley is a veteran writer, director. And to me, I mean, this is his magnum opus.
Yeah, he wrote 12 Years a Slave previously, won the Academy Award for that.
Which is an incredible film, of course, but this to me is like his magnum opus. I mean, this is 8 hours of television that is just so compelling, and it just shakes you to your core. I mean, it's interesting. 12 Years a Slave also shakes you to your core. but it's not 8 hours. This is 8 hours of just relentless television. incredible acting. And like you said, because of how visceral the show is, it's palpable. The heat, the tension, the suffering, it's palpable. And so, yeah, I highly recommend it, but I do so with a warning that, like I said, this is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to watch.
You may have to take it in installments.
Yeah.
I would not recommend binging this all in one day.
I would not either. But this is truly an A-plus show.
I agree.
All right, Miko, well with that. What do you say we lighten the mood? I think tasting some chocolate might lift us a little bit. What do you say we move on to some new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products! Trying something new. Oh, all right, everybody. It's time for new vegan products. Miko and I got our hands on the brand new non-dairy milk chocolate bar by Lindt. Now, I'm so excited about this because I thought that this was only going to be available in Europe. We talked about this during the vegan animal rights news segment a few weeks ago, and I could have sworn it said it was only going to be available across the pond. So imagine my surprise when I was in our local, I don't know what store it was in. It was some supermarket. And I saw right there at the checkout line, the vegan milk chocolate bar by Lindt. So I was like, oh my God, I got to get it. So this looks delicious, but I will hold judgment until we try it. Miko, I'd ask you how you prepared this, but I think you just opened the wrapper.
That is correct.
All right. Well, let's try this chocolate and let our listeners know what we think.
Mmm.
Mmm. Oh. Oh. Oh my God. Oh, that's delicious.
Spectacular.
Okay. Mm. I'm not usually a milk chocolate person. Be honest, even before we were vegan, I love dark chocolate, but this is really, really good. I mean, it's silky, it's creamy, it's not too, I feel like the reason why I don't like milk chocolate very much is sometimes I feel like the chocolate gets kind of washed out, but this is good. You still get that bitterness of the chocolate and that richness of the chocolate through, you know, even though it's kind of like, you know, mixed in with that creamy, smooth, velvety oat milk. It's really good.
I love it. I think that if you are vegan, have been missing milk chocolate, you can't do much better than this. This is really good.
And Lindt is pretty widely available, right? Isn't this one of the biggest chocolate makers?
Yeah, it's like one of the best known chocolate makers in Europe.
Yeah. I really think this is an A+. And I love that they're using oat milk because I believe, you know, I don't think there's anything in here if you have a nut allergy. Like if this were made with almond milk, there are people with the nut allergies, or if this were made with soy milk, you know, the soy allergies. But oats, I feel like, are pretty across the board. I think almost everybody can eat oats. So look for the Lindt oat milk plant-based chocolate bar. Is that what it's called? Let me look at the packaging here so I can get this right for everybody. Okay. It's a blue box. It says Lindt in gold leaf, and then it says oat milk non-dairy right there. Classic recipe, it also says on it. It is delicious. If you like milk chocolate, you will love this. Miko, anything you'd like to add?
Gets an A+ from me as well.
Oh, good. Well, did I say A+? A+. With that, oh God, I'm gonna mess this segment. With that, let's move on and do some vegan animal rights news.
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, everybody. It is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. South Korea announced they will no longer require toxicity tests on mice and guinea pigs.
Excellent.
Yes. This is following an earlier ban on cosmetic animal testing that they passed in 2018. So thank you, South Korea. I hope other countries would take their lead and do things like this, including the United States. We do have some states that ban animal tests in some fashion. I think California bans cosmetic animal testing, as do a couple other states, but it's by no means a national ban. So I would like to see that happen here and in other countries as well. Thank you, South Korea. Okay, next story. There's a new commercial, television commercial for corn, Q-U-O-R-N. This was aired in the UK, and this is to promote their new deli slices. So corn has these new deli slices. I haven't seen them here in the United States. I think they're only available in the UK. And in the commercial, there's a woman that's about to eat a sandwich with the corn in it. And then these, like, it's kind of like a puppet, like a pig and a cow. They're like, make sure you eat that. Don't eat the alternative. And it's interesting to me because in this commercial, I feel like animal-based meat is now framed as the alternative to the plant-based meat.
I think that's very clever.
And I think it's really, really smart. So I watched this commercial. It's only 30 seconds. And I was like, you know, it's cute. I mean, you know, the Muppets or puppets. I don't know what to call them. The animals. And then she's kind of like, you know, looking at, you know, and I think the way, I think what to me was creative is the way it's framed. And maybe if there's any hope for this world, maybe as we move forward and plant-based eating becomes more popular, maybe the animal-based stuff will be seen as fringy. Hopefully. I hope so.
Let's hope so.
Okay, next story. In celebrity news, the band Paramore announced that they will be given, be giving an unspecified amount of the proceeds of three of their concerts. It doesn't say how much. I don't know how much they're giving, but they're giving some portion of their ticket sales to the organization Support and Feed, which is the LA-based organization that was founded by Billie Eilish and her mother, Maggie Baird.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So they're doing a couple concerts in LA and a couple concerts in New York, and those ticket sales are going to go to help support this organization. And, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but I wanted to just remind everybody, this organization that Billie Eilish and her mom founded, it's really interesting what they do. It was founded during the pandemic at the start of it. And they were asking people to order food from local vegan restaurants, and then that food would be delivered to people without access to affordable, healthy food. So it was a very ingenious way of keeping the vegan restaurants in business, but also helping people who needed it. So I loved this idea. I love that it's still happening. And so a big thank you to Billie Eilish and Maggie Baird. This is really, really smart. And thank you, Paramore, for donating an unspecified amount of your ticket sales. Okay, next story. Taco Bell is in the news. They announced a partnership with Beyond Meat. They are now going to be testing Beyond Meat Carne Asada at 50 locations starting on October 13th.
Mmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, I am not usually a Taco Bell customer. However, I would make an exception for some Beyond Meat Carne Asada. Is Carne Asada always spicy or can it not be spicy?
I don't know.
Okay. Because, you know, I don't do the spice. But we'll see. I like that they're partnering with Beyond Meat. Taco Bell is no stranger to doing plant-based meats. They've done this in Europe for years. And I'm happy to see that they are doing this now in the United States, specifically with a company that Miko and I invest in because they need it. Okay. Next story. Hungry Planet is in the news. You know, we just tasted their gyozas on the show.
Everything we've tried by them has been very good.
Yeah, they make some quality plant-based meats, everybody. Okay, they are partnering with a chain called Lion's Choice, which I guess is known for their roast beef. I don't know, it's not a vegan restaurant. It's not even close. Well, anyway, Lion's Choice is going to be doing a meatball sandwich, and they're going to be using the Hungry Planet meat. And this is going to be at their 33 locations.
Nice.
Okay. I've never been to a Lion's Choice. I don't know if I've seen a Lion's Choice. It looks like this is a St. Louis-based company. So I'm not from the Midwest. I don't, you know, but look, I love that they're partnering with Hungry Planet. And I'm sure that these meatball sandwiches will be delicious. Okay, next story. The former chef at Popeyes, and also he worked at Wendy's too, is now going to be working with a plant-based meat producer called Nowadays to create their new crispy whole-cut cutlets and tenders.
Mm.
I mean, if the guy from Popeyes can't make it happen, who can? Nowadays, I believe at the moment only does like chicken nuggets. I've never tried their stuff. We should get it on the show. But I know I've seen it advertised to me online. I'm just not a chicken nugget person. And there's so many of them. You know what I mean? It's like, but okay. I like that Nowadays is you know, expanding their line into cutlets and tenders. And I like that they're working with, you know, a chef who has done this, sadly on the animal-based side, but has done this to great success for other companies. So, like I said, if he can do it for Popeyes and he can do it for Wendy's, why can't he do it for Nowadays except using plant-based meat? It's going to be great, I think. So, okay. Next story. Trader Joe's is in the news. I love when I get to talk about Trader Joe's. By the way, it's pumpkin season at Trader Joe's, everyone. Don't sleep on it. There's three seasons at Trader Joe's. Mango, peppermint, and pumpkin. And pumpkin is the best. And they have pumpkin everything. I mean, some of it, honestly, I'm just going to be honest, some of it I'm not down with. Like the pumpkin hummus. Like, I don't know if we really need pumpkin spice hummus. That's taking it a bit too far. But most of it is delicious, like the pumpkin JoJo's and the pumpkin bagels, and they do pumpkin spice yogurt. I had their pumpkin spice overnight oats. I gotta say, I wasn't really a fan. That was a bit too much. But, you know, most of it's really good. Anyway, back to the problem. They, and when I say they, I mean Trader Joe's, are going to be releasing a new spread. It's called salmon-esque spread, okay? Vegan salmon-esque. And what it... Why are you laughing?
No, it's just a funny name. Funny?
Salmon-esque. Well, whatever. That's what it's called. So it's basically like a Lox-flavored cream cheese. Kind of like... Remember when Miyoko did Unlox Your Dreams? I don't even know if she still makes that. But it was a Lox-flavored cream cheese that she did. It was really good. And so this is going to be their, I guess, version of that. Now, I do want to say, Trader Joe's used to carry the Unlocks Your Dreams cream cheese by Miyoko. So do you think that they were just like, well, we'll just make it ourselves. Like, we don't need her.
Maybe. Maybe she makes it for them. Who knows?
Maybe. Right. Because they do partner with a lot of companies. But we should get our hands on this and maybe try it on the show. I also like the fact that they're doing, you know, a vegan, even though it's not really seafood because it's a cream cheese spread. You know, Lox is made from salmon. So...
We'll see if it's a fish thing. Good-esque.
Yeah, salmon-esque. Okay, next story. Everything Legendary is in the news. We loved their burgers. We tried them last winter. Okay, for those that don't know, Everything Legendary, they're a great plant-based meat producer. They're the ones who got a lot of their funding from Shark Tank. Anyway, they just announced that they are releasing new wings. This is their first foray into plant-based chicken. They're going to be called Dragon Wings, and they're going to come in three varieties. I only have one flavor here, though, which is super spicy scorching bites.
That sounds like made for you.
That's going to put me in the hospital. So I don't know what the other flavors are, but I would love to try their plant-based chicken. Like I said, their burgers are fabulous. So I'm sure their chicken is going to be great too. So thank you, Everything Legendary. We will look out for your dragon wings. Love it. Okay, next story. Louisville vegan jerky is in the news. By the way, I've talked about this on the show in recent weeks because obviously vegan jerky is having a moment, and Louisville to me is the cream of the crop. That's my favorite vegan jerky. I love their stuff, and it comes in so many different flavors, the texture, everything. It's great. They announced this week that they are now going to be doing bacon bits, pepperoni bits, and taco fiesta bits. And, you know, so they're getting into like the Bacos market, and this is going to be sold at Sprouts Farmers Market.
Love it.
I love it too. They're calling these salad toppers. And I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the pepperoni bits to me sound the most interesting. That sounds really good. Like, imagine you make like a delicious, like, fresh salad with an Italian dressing, and then you add the pepperoni bits.
Mm-hmm.
Girl. Okay. We have got to get ourselves over to a Sprouts and pick up some of these bacon bits things. And we should try all three flavors. I think these are going to be delicious. So thank you, Louisville. And finally, my last story of the week. There was some very interesting information about koalas this week, which shows that koalas have almost identical fingerprints to humans.
I love the story, especially because it was like they interviewed someone who was like, I mean, they are so human-like. If you found them at crime scenes, police might get confused. Not that I'm saying it's very likely you'd find koala prints at a crime scene. And I was like, oh, this story is fascinating.
I mean, I don't know. Killer koalas? It could happen.
It wasn't me. It was the koala.
It wasn't me. It was the koala. Yeah. But I just thought this was really fascinating. I never even thought about koalas having fingerprints. I don't know that much about koalas. I know they're from Australia. I know they're marsupials. I know they have black claws. I know they sleep. Maybe I do know a lot about koalas. I know they sleep like, what, 3/4 of their lives or something? Mm-hmm. And they're adorable. They're really, really cute. But, you know, if you go down to Australia and see koalas, they say, like, don't fuck with koalas because koalas can fuck you up. And you know what? Like, now we can fingerprint and find out which koala did you in. Should you fuck with the koala? Although if you fuck with a koala, you probably deserve it.
I think that Clue should introduce an Australian edition where you can also be a koala.
Oh, that would be interesting. Like Mr. Green, Miss Peacock, Miss Scarlet, koala. It was the koala in the billiards room with the lead pipe.
And we have the fingerprints to prove it.
Fascinating news about koalas, everybody. And they are really adorable. And you know what else I know about koalas? I do know a lot. I said I didn't, but I'm wrong. Do you know they're not bears?
They're
like
marsupials.
It's called a koala bear, but they're not bears. Yeah, like I said, they're marsupials. So there you have it. With that, Miko, we have come to the end of another show.
Yes, we have.
I want to thank everyone so much for listening. I feel like I was slightly a mess this week. I don't know what that's about. I have a lot going on right now, so I might just be in a weird headspace. So I apologize for that. Please forgive me. But again, thank you for staying. I mean, if you're listening now, you've listened to the whole show. So thank you for staying with me or us. Yes?
Yes.
If you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, if you want to tell me I'm a mess, that's fine. You can do that on Twitter. I can be reached at @VeganAri. Miko can be reached at @MikoAlan, or feel free to use our #VeganAriShow. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify.
And retweeting right now.
And okay. Or wherever you consume your podcasts. And except maybe this week, maybe don't leave a review because I was a mess. Wait till I'm having a really good week. And then be like, oh, Vegan Ari was on fire this week. Okay, thank you. But you can hit that 5-star thing. And as Miko said, you can retweet us. Remember, if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, we would be ever so grateful for that. Whatever you can do, if you want to retweet me, that's wonderful. Thank you. If you want to create your own social media post about the show, Miko, stop laughing. I appreciate that. If you want to post about it in a Facebook group you're in, or a Reddit you're in, or I don't know how Reddit works, but you know, if you're on Reddit, if you want to spend some money, like I always say, commercials, billboards, bus ads, holograms, immersive experiences, we are here for it. We're available for filming. We could do radio spots. I have tons of costume changes. I have ideas, everyone. So please, if you want to spend some money, don't hesitate to reach out. But like I always say, no matter how much money you spent or how free it was, we appreciate all the help. So thank you for that. Miko, before I dig myself even deeper into this mess of a hole I've dug myself into, do you have any words that you'd like to say?
Just a reminder that we are less than 50 days from the midterms, so make sure that your voter registration is current and active. Make sure that your friends are registered to vote and have a plan to vote. And remember, friends don't let friends vote Republican.
And there you have it. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And if we don't hear from you this week, we will catch up with you next weekend. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
I feel like I've been locked up tight for a century of lonely nights, waiting for someone.